Last week, I spoke with MP Trevor Kahn on the drafting of the Voluntary Assisted Dying Bill 2017. After a conversation, it prompted me to continue research on the controversial bill and found Dying with Dignity. Dying with Dignity is an advocacy organization that has been pursuing to change the laws on voluntary assisted dying since the 1970s. I spoke with Shane Higsby, who tells us her personal story of why she got involved in her fight to pass the bill. How did you get involved with Dying with Dignity?
My mother died in late 2012 from an aggressive brain cancer. She accepted there was nothing doctors could do when she was diagnosed earlier in the year. Her condition deteriorated quite quickly, actually, over the 7 months. But it was in the last couple of weeks where her suffering became so unbearable that she was pleading with us to end her life. And unfortunately, under the current laws, there's nothing that you can do to avoid the end stage of some of these really awful diseases. So watching my mum suffer was definitely the most traumatic thing I've ever experienced. So I made a promise, really, to myself to do all that I could to help change the law so that someone who is dying and they have unrelievable suffering and they just want to die peacefully have that choice. It's a choice that over 200 million people in the world now have that choice, and I think Australians deserve it as well. Currently, if you're dying here in Australia and you have unrelievable suffering, you have three legal choices. You can take your own life. So in other words, commit suicide, and that is often lonely, it's bleak, and very often violent. You have the right to refuse all treatment, including food and water, so you can basically starve and dehydrate yourself to death. Now that's very long and psychologically painful for you, but also for your family. And then the third option, the third legal option, once you have been suffering for some time, if you're lucky, a doctor may slowly induce a coma. It's called terminal sedation. But again, this can take some time, and it only happens when they really can do no more to alleviate your suffering. So there's a lot of suffering that happens before they reach that stage. I think what people have to realize is that people want to live. Nobody, when they get their first diagnosis of terminal illness, gives up. Everybody fights. The reality is that there are a lot of diseases that the end stage is pretty horrendous. We should be able to give people that control. We give them respect and control in other end-of-life decisions. For instance, you know, being allowed to refuse all treatment, including food and water. We give them that autonomy, yet we don't provide them with the peaceful option.
What would be the percentage of people who would choose this option?
It's hard to predict exactly, but even palliative care specialists themselves say that the numbers of people whose symptoms cannot be relieved effectively is between 4% and 8%. So the reality is that palliative care, we're very lucky. We have one of the best palliative care systems in the world. Palliative care do a wonderful job. However, there are some people whose symptoms cannot be relieved. But the thing with this law is that it would give everybody who is dying that reassurance that they have that control if they want it. And not everybody will want it. In Oregon, where they've had the law for 20 years, 40% of people who qualify, they don't end up taking it. But it has a very strong palliative effect to know that you are in control and that if your symptoms become unbearable, that you have the choice of a peaceful death.
Would this option be covered under Medicare?
At the end of the day, all we're talking about is a prescription for a barbiturate that used to be legal. Some people access that drug now illegally from overseas and take matters into their own hands. But of course, they can't involve family members or friends, anyone else, because that would be seen as assisting a suicide, which is currently illegal. It is legal to suicide, but it is illegal to assist someone to suicide. But the cost should never be about cost, obviously. I mean, we've just seen the state government put $100 million into palliative care over the next 4 years, which is very welcome. Organisations like Dying with Dignity New South Wales fully support palliative care, and we want it to be well resourced, have enough people so that everyone has the choice to have palliative care if that's what they want, if they're dying. However, this would just be an option within palliative care. So there would be virtually no extra cost. I mean, someone, as we know from the evidence overseas, people hang on to life. They want to live. So it's only when their life becomes completely miserable, their suffering unbearable, that someone may want this final choice. launch of the bill a few weeks ago, a 54-year-old woman called Annie was present at the press conference. Annie has motor neuron disease. She contacted Dying with Dignity last year and said that offered to be the face of the campaign because we know personal stories do make a difference. That way, when politicians are debating the bill, they will realise that we're talking about real people with real suffering. Annie started a petition a few weeks before the bill was released, actually, on change.org. It's already got nearly, I think, 75,000 signatures when I last looked. If people support Annie's petition, that will be able to pass a message on to the politicians. And so definitely here in New South Wales, Annie's story, you know, is really strong. But there have been others over the years that I've been involved. Ina Ranke was a woman from the Hunter Valley who Dying with Dignity did a video of. She also had a progressive neurological disease and she ended up ending her own life, so she suicided. John Grayson is a terminally ill man from Newcastle. He has terminal brain cancer and he's also, we've done a video, Sally Crossing, who's passed away. So a number of people have come forward and they want to share their story to try and make politicians realise that this is about real people. We're just asking our politicians to look at the evidence, look at what the people want, look at the reality of the suffering that exists in the absence of these laws and step up, you know, do it. Every year that we miss out on a law, more people like my mum are going to be forced to suffer. It's cruel, it's inhumane. People even refer to it as torture. And my own mum referred to it as torture. She asked me, why are they torturing me? And that's the reality. If we don't change the law, then that is the outcome. And are those MPs who block the law, are they going to take responsibility for the torture of dying people? Are they going to take responsibility for the numbers of elderly people who are suiciding in terrible circumstances? They need to do something, change the law and make this a part, just an option within palliative care as it works overseas. And what we need to do, and what listeners need to do, is contact their MP. If you believe that a dying person should have the choice to end their life peacefully at a time of their choosing when their suffering becomes unbearable, they need to speak up. They need to contact their local MP, write a letter, send an email, pick up the phone and call them, or even have a face-to-face meeting, particularly if you have a personal experience that shapes your opinion. Our politicians need to hear from people, and they need to hear from people over the next couple of months so that when this bill is debated in spring, they will have a very clear idea of just how many people do support it. And that way we will be able to counter the well-funded vocal minority who want to stop everyone having this choice.
Shane Higsby's personal experience led her to join Dying with Dignity to fight for those who have lost their battle and those who are still holding on to continue the fight. Next week, I speak with Isaac Spencer from Right to Life to hear the opposing side and listen to their views.